In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Revelation tells us he's the first begotten from the dead, and that he loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I like that. So I greet you in that wonderful and precious name of Jesus this morning, the one that I trust we all love and desire to serve even more fully. You can open your Bibles to 1 Samuel 18. And I've been in the Old Testament and devotions both times and different characters. I don't have a board behind me. I often write my title on the board. So I'll just trust your memory. The title this morning is Behaving Ourselves Wisely. Maybe a bit of a Christian life message. Maybe just a tad of a revival message. Behaving ourselves wisely. Maybe it's a continuation of the Sunday school lesson. I had no idea. At Grandview, we have brought in staff for the children's classes, but for the adult classes, we've just always studied right out of the Bible and have a brother appointed to teach. So we're in Romans, so I'm not up to date. I wasn't. But as I sat there and listened in Thessalonians, I thought, well, I guess my message just continues this thought about living a godly life, behaving ourselves wisely. So I appreciate the service thus far. Trust we continue to benefit from instruction from the Word of God. Anybody remember, I was here maybe a couple years ago. That's what my nephew told me. I said, I have just been there when he asked me what I was going to do. And I never know right where to go to church when I come up in these parts of the country. There's so many choices. And I have friends in most all the plain churches. So I guess whoever calls first gets me. If nobody calls, that's fine too. I've snuck in a time or two. It's pretty hard to do anymore. But anyway, I preached here maybe 2 years ago. Anybody remember? I didn't check back, but I remember. But Omer, yes, thank you. I know who you are. Go ahead. What did I preach about? I thought you...
No, I remember you being here.
Okay. Anybody remember what I preached about? I think I didn't check this out. Maybe my memory is not as good as... I believe that I preached on the crucified life. Anyway, this morning it's behaving ourselves wisely. How many of you children like David and Goliath's story of David and Goliath? Raise your hand. How about you children, boys, girls? Yeah, there's one. Yeah, I like it too. I'm a big boy. Maybe say who does. But no, there's certain accounts in the Bible. Thank you. There's certain accounts in the Bible that I never get tired of. There's truth in the New Testament. I like when it kind of, I know it's more than feeling, but I tell people, I read that, and it sort of made chills go up and down my back. It kind of got me excited, animated me, just to read that account, New Testament, Old Testament. But David and Goliath is one of them. When you read about Goliath and try to put yourself like you're there watching this thing, real life, put yourself in there. These what we read in the Bible, it's just not a story that happened way back there. And we heard that so many times. Oh, give me a cup of coffee, I go to sleep. No, these are stories. They're real people in real life, laying their lives on the line because they believed in God. And that animates me to do that today. So anyway, we're going to read here, behaving ourselves wise. And we have this phrase here. So go to 1 Samuel 18. We have it maybe four times here. Verses would be verse 5 of 1 Samuel. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. We know the story well enough. We don't need to fill in a lot of details. This is after David and Goliath here in chapter 18. We'll go back and get 17, maybe some in 16. It says, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. So that's our title, Behaving Ourselves Wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Go down to verse 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Young people, behave yourself wisely. God will be with you. and all of us. Go down then to verse 15, let's see. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he, David, behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Why do we get afraid of people who are very, very wise, devout believers who are on fire for the Lord? Some people get afraid of those kind of people. Why was Saul afraid of David? Because it tells us that the Spirit of God came upon David and he left Saul. I think we get afraid of God's people when the Spirit of God leaves us, probably, and we don't know right where we're at. But anyway, and one more time, down in verse 30. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. So we have this Bible phrase here related to David. You know, we think of Noah, he walked with God. We think of Enoch, he walked with God. We think of other Joseph, that God was with him wherever he went. You know. But here it says, David, he behaved himself wisely, very wisely, more wisely. So, anyway, I'd like to answer two questions this morning. Basically, why should we behave ourselves wisely? We're speaking to mostly Christian people who are age of accountability. Maybe a few unbelievers here. I don't know who's here. This is a Christian life message. Why? And then later I like to say how. Ask how. So I ask those two questions. Why behave ourselves wisely and how are we going to do it? I'd like to do that in the time we have this morning. I'd like to read, I should read a little background here in 1 Samuel 18. Maybe I will. I know the story is familiar. Maybe I could take time. I got to watch myself a little bit here. There's a lot of things we could say. 18:1 to 16. I like to say that you all know this well enough. I could just leave it there and not read that. But if I had a section of verses that reads 1 Samuel 18:1 to 16 and then 28 to 30. And we have Jonathan and David becoming best of friends. Jonathan, you know, I cried when I read here not long ago how he died in battle. Sometimes the innocent suffer with the wicked, you know that? That was just Jonathan. He said to David, you're going to be the next king. And Saul railed on him, you're going to let this fellow be king instead of you. You should be the next king. But Jonathan bowed his heart. He knew the will of God. And he said, David, you're going to be king next, and I'm going to be next to you. But Jonathan didn't live to see that day. And then Saul gets all out of, let's read in 10, or excuse me, chapter 18, verse 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Goliath, that the women came out of all cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. You know, Saul's heard that real clear. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. Oh my, let's have a pity party. Listen, folks, in the church of Jesus Christ, I have it later, but I'll say it here and I'll repeat it again. We got to get over this business of who gets the credit. Who cares who gets the credit if the Philistines are defeated? That giant's gone. We can now live normal lives. Who cares who gets the credit, folks? Shame on us. Shame on Saul. Why, I only got attributed to 1,000. Well, praise God, you saved your 1,000. If someone comes along and says 10,000, why, praise the Lord. Lift him up. Respect him and honor him. We have a problem with this in the church today. Maybe not so much in a congregation, maybe between churches. Shame on us. That was a point for the practicals. I couldn't help myself on that because it's real. Or in your families, jealousies and envies. That's not how we behave ourselves wisely, by the way. let's read on here a little bit. You know, the only thing David can have more is the kingdom. Well, it was coming his way. And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And we know how he tried to smite David to the wall with a javelin. And then we have these verses every time. But David was very wise. A lot of opposition. Saul was out to kill him. Sometimes David, one time he said, one of these days, in my own words, he's going to get me. David knew, and he was anointed king already in chapter 16, was it? As a young man, he knew it. But you know how we are. We know things, but we have doubts. And he said, one of these days, Saul will get me. Saul, run over here. But God never allowed that to happen. Now, coming more directly, we could read a lot of background verses. I'm going to trust your Bible memory as Bible students, and you boys and girls, you've heard this story. Well, in chapter 17, go back to chapter 17. David's father says, go out there and check on your brothers and see how the battle goes and how they fare. He takes some supplies. And it says, verse 20 of chapter 17, David rose up early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. So David left all these supplies and with the right people, and he went out there, and here comes Goliath. You know the story. And when Goliath came out, everybody ran and hid. Verse 25, and the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? That's what it was all about. A battle between God and Satan. That's what it was. And Saul thought it was a battle between him and David. And Eliab, and then the people said, well, thus and thus. So David just asked. But then in verse 20, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David and said, Why did you come out here? My own words. Where did you leave those few sheep with anyway, huh? You just come out here to see what's going on. You're just being nosy. I know that I pride the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. You want to watch the show. And then David answers in verse 29, and this is part of the why. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Now, if you read some other renderings, and basically what David is saying is, all I did was ask a question. What's going to be done to the man? Why is this man marching around here like he is, defying the armies of the God of Israel? If you read some other, he'll say, wasn't it just a question I asked? Eliab, what are you so upset about? I just asked a question. It was an honest question. You ought to always be open to honest questions. Sometimes the Pharisees ask Jesus questions, tempting him. Now, I'll be careful there, but be wise. Behave yourself wisely. Those things come, and they do. But here I think David just had, what's this? And then he says, is there not a cause? Now, in our terminology, according to the dictionary, wrote a few things down here. A cause is a subject or a movement in which many people are interested and they give their support to it. In an English dictionary. Now, if you look this word up in Strong's, it'll just talk about the question, I think. I didn't refresh everything here this morning. But we have the idea, and then we get into this, a little bit of word study here, but what I want to say is we have a cause. That's why we need to behave ourselves wisely. David had a cause. And because of that cause for God, for the God who, the God of Israel and the armies of the God of Israel, he behaved himself wisely because there was a cause. Now, folks, if we don't get a vision of the cause today, and if David had a cause then, I want to tell you, we have a real one now, too. Yes, we do. We always have. The people of God have always had a cause. Old Testament and New. We're going to have one right up to the end till God takes us out by death or by his coming again. And we need to realize that. I'd like to rivet that on mind. We have a cause. And David behaving himself wisely. So, for us today, it would be a movement. Well, it's more than a movement. Sometimes a movement's not the best word, but the Church of Jesus Christ is the cause. For Christ in the church, we sing. It's the cause that we have today, for Christ in the church. Maybe I said this here before, but, you know, there's one error. The Catholics and maybe some of our older friends have the church without Christ. And the Protestants come along and try to correct that, and they have Christ without the church. God, would to God, the Bible teaches that it's Christ and the church. Christ died for the church. And those two are together. Don't try to separate them, please. For the songwriter had it right. For Christ and the church, let our voices ring. That's the cause we have today. Then it was this giant, this uncircumcised Philistine defying the armies of the God of Israel. David says, what is this? Anyway, you can't let this go on. This has to change. And you know the story. This word behave, as we're doing so a little, we have a cause. A little word study. This word behave. Strong says to be circumspect and hence intelligent. Now, I'm amazed at our people, the intelligence among the Amish Mennonite people. You know, we have some men with some brilliant minds. You trace a lot of these businesses and different things, and there's a lot of them, you way back far enough, you find some Mennonite or Amishmen started things, not some big worldwide company that, you can say that of Weber Chicken, you can say that of New Holland, big New Holland company, you can say a lot of them. There's conservative Mennonites back there who started this with tremendous intelligence. I tell my brethren, son, you can run circles around me. I have a little intelligence, but there's some brethren, they just, whatever they put their hand to do, it happens. They know how to do it, and they'll make it work. And I'm just, I don't know. But I appreciate it. I value it, and I commend them. I'm not going to be like Saul, be jealous. I'm glad for all we have. But I think the test for us to behave ourselves wisely, let's make sure we put that into the kingdom of God more. Who cares if there's big companies that come from the intelligence of men? But would to God the church would benefit by those men whose God's granted. These young men sitting here, I'm sure, with tremendous ability, tremendous talent. If they give it to God, there's no doubt that they'll be like a David in the New Testament, like David was in the Old. And there are some of them living, a few of them I've been privileged to know. You know a few too, if you think a little, maybe you don't need to think very hard, if some among you. So there was a cause then, there's a cause now. Behave means to be circumspect and hence intelligent. Now, so that word circumspect comes up in Strong's definition of behaving here in the Old Testament. Now let's go to 1 Timothy 3. For the cause now, just a couple verses, New Testament, 1 Timothy 3. I want to read verse 15 for sure, maybe 16. This would be the cause today, as we already said it, but let's. Paul to Timothy says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself. There's that word behave. In the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, Without controversy, great is the mystery of God, is God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory, and he's coming again. But this, how thou dost behave thyself. I looked in Vines. Vines says that this, how, behaving yourself means to busy yourself. Busy yourself in the house of God. Make it a priority. Be there to serve. Behave yourself wisely, and I'll guarantee you you'll have some work to do. Just be humble. Part of behaving ourselves wisely is being humble. But you're loyal and you're faithful. You have a walk with the Lord. There's someone going to notice that. Be patient. But sooner or later, you'll have more to do, probably, than you'll be begging God for for wisdom to know how to do it all and how to prioritize and so forth. So we have this word, behave. Now, Vine says this. He says, that was Paul to Timothy, but it applies to all the members of the local body. I like that. See, what we need to remember, now in the nation, people complain about those men at the top, you know, whoever they are. Now I remind people, well, those men grew up in this country. They're a product of the universities of our country, this country. They're a part of the society. They just come up through, and now they're president or governor or whatever they are. So whatever's happening up there is about, shows that there's something been happening down here. The universities, the higher institutions of education in America have been corrupt for a long time. They've been teaching humanism and atheism and evolution, all this, for a long time. Now it's finally bearing the full fruit of a godless humanism that has such ideas it makes me shake. Such perversions. Now, that's there, out there. We're not part of that kingdom. But the same thing among us. These boys, girls, boys growing up, they'll be teachers, mothers, good, faithful brethren, fathers, few of them ministers. We need to do our job down here is the lesson, folks. Because if we don't do our job in our homes, in our schools, we get careless and lax, that's going to get up here behind this pulpit someday. Hey, it will. As sure as I'm standing here, it will. And that leader, you got a problem with him. Well, that happens somewhere down here. Now, every now and then the leader falls, and he just goes, he shocks us and surprises. That happens sometimes. That can happen to any of us. We can fail of the grace of God, but as a rule, it was happening. It came up through. And then we wonder why we have leaders like we do. Well, because we have this. Remember that truth. So we need to pay attention down here because it'd be coming up through because we take our leaders from our people. But we have a cause. Now let's go to Ephesians 5, yet in this word circumspect, a little bit there, and we'll move on here shortly. Ephesians 5, 15 to 17, just a few New Testament verses, and then we'll have a little bit about the how. Ephesians 5, 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So, David walking, behaving himself wisely, circumspect, and being intelligent about that. Here's this word in the New Testament. See then you walk circumspectly. We say carefully, it's true. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise. Don't behave yourself unwisely. You know the term is wise or otherwise. Don't be otherwise, be wise. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's behaving ourselves wisely. Now you should have connected already. That means we need to be in the Word of God and on our knees. David communed with God out there tending those sheep. I think that was the foundation of his life. And as he followed that, he was successful. And when he stepped aside and he had his failure, as you all know, he fell. But he repented and came back, which is the positive side for Dave. Now, if you go to Vines, and I encourage studies not only in Strong's but in Vines. I like Vines because it always adds a little something besides what Strong's has. Vines, you look for circumspect, and it's there, and it says see accurately or accurate. Oh, so you go back to accurate. So circumspect means accurately. I think some things I'm saying are echoing what our brother said in devotions right before I got up here. It means exact. It means diligently. And it means carefully. So walk, behave yourself wisely, be circumspect, be alert, be accurate. Old Testament and New. So there was a cause then, there's a cause now. So that's a little word study. Maybe it could be more, but I'm going to leave it there for now. So there is a cause. That's why we need to behave ourselves wisely. Then there's a cause today. David saw his cause very clearly. For a young man, was he 16? See? One thing I'm concerned about is we're kind of satisfied to let our young people go through this. They're trying to figure out who they are, we say. I don't even like that. Yeah, we know that. There's some truth in that. But, you know, there's more psychology in that than there is truth, I suppose. There's truth in it. There's truth in a lot of things. But truth mixed with error is still error. We ought to require more of our young men, not just in working. We're probably pretty good at keeping busy working, but more of them and our young ladies. Let them grow up a little quicker. Don't push them. Let them enjoy their childhood. I'm not saying that, but let them, make them grow up. Teach them not to be in this play. And you know, that goes into early marriage. We just want to be me and my wife, and we want to go and build a nice house, and we want to go and see some things, and we don't want any children. This is part of this, what I'm talking about, things that are happening. And then at 60, well, of course, you can't expect it, you know. This young stripling. Saul called him a stripling. Who is he anyway? Who is this little boy? Youth. He was already anointed king. I don't know if he's 16 or 18, but he's young. Today, we need a vision like David, that brings a courageous response. I wrote this down so I get it. A courageous response for all of us. Vine said that in Timothy was not just for Paul to Timothy, but for all the believers in the local body. Something like that. I like that. Brings a courageous response of laying our lives our all on the line in these last and perilous days. That's a little revival in this message. I want to ask you, if you are, why are you fearful? David should have been shaking his boots, and he might have been, but he had the courage to go out and do the job. And I don't think the issue is that we might be wonder and we have a little fears. The issue is that will we go do it and believe God like Elijah did and like others did and like David did here. We need that. So maybe you say, well, I'm not afraid. Well, good. Perfect love casts out fear, 1 John tells us. But then why? It came up in our Sunday school there about some of our opposition. Why are we so involved with lesser things? Things that when life is all over, things when eternity is ushered in won't mean a thing. Won't mean a thing. You have some value here, but they won't mean a thing over there. I say we need a vision. There's a cause. And we know the story. He went, and finally, this word got to the king, Saul, and he said, well, bring this man in. And so he loads him up with all his armor and all his gear, and he says, I can't go with these. This young man, as strong as he was, probably like, he's busy, so busy carrying this stuff, I won't have time to. So he just puts that all off. Haven't proved them, not worthy of those. Then he gets his sling. He gets 5 stones and goes out there. We don't need much equipage, folks. We just need faith and courage in a God of heaven. That's the same today as he was when David walked the earth. And in the New Testament versus the Old, there's some difference, but principles are much the same, if not mostly entirely. Paul said, you know, they tried to persuade him. This prophet Agabus came along there, Acts 21, took his girdle off Paul and bounced it. This is what they're going to do, this man that wears this girdle. And they try, oh, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Oh, Paul, we love you. Don't go to Jerusalem. You're a good man. We need you. And that's all good. But Paul said, what mean you to weep and break my heart? I'm willing not to go to Jerusalem, not only to be bound or suffer, but to die. That's the kind of commitment we need today. Well, let's move on to the how. So that's why we need to behave ourselves. Why? We have a cause. The cause of Christ and the church. Cause of the gospel. Well, how are we going to do it? How did David do it? I have one answer. The Spirit of God. Go to chapter 16, verse 11 to 14. And so Samuel's instructed to go down there and anoint someone else king because he rejected Saul. And Samuel said, well, if I go down there and Saul hears it, he's going to kill me. And God said, it's good. He said, I'll take care of that. You go down there and tell him you're going to have a sacrifice. And he calls Jesse and his son. So he did. And all of them went by. And, you know, finally God told him, is this where he said, I don't look in the out? Yes, verse 7. Man looks outward, I look in the heart. And Samuel said unto Jesse, verse 11, are here all thy children? Is this all of them? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sat and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, is how do you say that? And withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. Pretty handsome young man. It's all right to be handsome. Lord, didn't let that go to his head, at least not now. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And the evil spirit troubled Saul, but the Spirit of God was with David. That's key. Now let's have it understood that the Spirit of God and the Word of God always agree. They always work together. Yeah, we get carried away, we know that, and the Spirit, and it's all the Spirit. And what happened to the Word of God? You're violating here and here and here, but you think you have the Spirit of God? That's heresy. There was a clear word from the Lord for David. He just acted on it, but he was anointed with the Spirit of God. Chapter 17, verse 26. Let's see what that says. Oh, that's David asked the question. We did read that. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? That was never God's intent. That these uncircumcised would rule over his people, but they were. David knew that. There was a clear word from God. We could go to other scriptures. I won't take the time for that. Verse 45, just to read it, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. Why? So I'm this great hero. I'm going to see my muscles, see what I did. I think young men ought to work hard. I never lifted weights in my time. I mean, I might have picked one up one time. I saw them or something. But work hard. Honor God. Let that other stuff go by, this physical fitness. David's physically fit from working those sheep, wrestling with lions and bears. And you know, You know how you get good at something? Just practice it. And I expect out there tending the sheep, David with that sling, I suppose. That's how the man of Israel, one time, what? If some were left-handed, they could throw a stone at a hairbreadth. I suppose David's in there too. You practice something enough, you get good at it. Practice from young up, get good at it. That's why it's important. Have your children doing the things that they get good at. In their Bibles, doing good things, build life, build character. Behaving ourselves wisely is the title. How? By the Spirit of God. I didn't finish it, did I? I want, I'm here in 17. And all this assembly, verse 47. No, verse 46. I'm going to give your body to the beast of the field, the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And then David started running. It was I have here an all or nothing faith. There was no turning back now. He had his sling and his five stones. This man who's covered, where would you hit him with a stone anyway? Well, apparently one little gap here, and God directed the stone, of course, by David's faith, and that stone just caught that little gap and sunk in. The giant fell down dead. Any giants today that these young men ought to tangle with? Those older men too? Maybe those older men need to take the lead. Well, that was then. What about now? Matthew 28, 18 to 20, the Great Commission. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Been a while since I quoted that. Mostly have it from memory. All power. All power. What kind of power? The Holy Spirit power. Power of God. Verse 18. Then he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you all, even unto the end of the world. That's our cause. And we're promised power. It's all power to all believers, to go into all the world, to teach all things, and with the all-present, ever-present God and Lord to be with us. I think we have more than David did, in a way. Progression of revelation, New Testament. We have the Holy Spirit given to us as Christians individually. And Acts 1:8, if that's not enough, Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, under the uttermost parts of the earth. And I'm going to take you to Acts 13. This gets now to the corporate level. Yes, the Spirit of God dwells within each Christian, each believer. We believe that. I'm of the persuasion that when our young people come to Christ, that they ought to ask the Lord to come in and make them a new creature, a new creation, change them, and ask the Spirit of God, because that's the work of the Spirit of God, that converting, that conversion, we call it the new birth. That's the Spirit of God doing this miraculous work of regeneration in the inner man that shows up on the outside. I think we ought to just say now, just ask the Holy Spirit to come in and do his work and abide in you and dwell there. And you're his now. You don't belong to yourself. And somewhere, it could be worded different ways, but we ought to do that because the Spirit of God is so important. It's important for the converting. It's important for the walk in life, work, the walk of sanctification and growth and maturity. But Acts 13, the corporate level, now here's the church, and you know what it says, the Bible students. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, in our ordinations, I'm zealous that the Holy Ghost is talking to us. And I'm not saying it's not, I'm just saying maybe more emphasis on that. The Holy Ghost said, listen to the old preachers, they used to use this term, the Holy Ghost. Today we use the Holy Spirit, and I'm not, that's fine, means the same thing. But here in the Bible it says, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called. And they fasted and prayed. Then go back to chapter 15. After that big conference at Jerusalem, we could read 22 to 31, but for sake of time, we'll just get verse 28. It says, among other things, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. There it is again. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And they itemized them at their standards or decrees to really keep, as you call them, in your circles. And they sent them out, and the churches had rest. But it seemed good to us. We ought to check ourselves. This looks good to us. Whether we're leaders or fathers or just brethren in the church that get called upon, I say when it's ordination time, we put about as much weight on you, brethren, as any time in the church. And you need to take that seriously. We trust you that you're not just nominating your best friend or someone you think would give it what I like to see in the church. But you've been on your knees and you have the Spirit of God saying, this brother would probably serve us best. He might tramp my toes. He might have to discipline me. But I think he's the man for this time. Forget who you like and don't like. I think it happened. I heard a preacher say, you know, you might be, he said, that fellow there, I said, that's just who the Lord might call if you let him do his work. Seemed good to the Holy Spirit. So we need the Spirit of God. Then David needed, he had it, and we need it now. And as Christians, we have it. Unless we have, or like Saul, and the Spirit of God has departed because we disobeyed, and then repent and return. Now my appeal here is that we be more intense and active about the spiritual implications that threaten us. And that we adjust our lifestyles and livelihoods when necessary to live separate from this one world Antichrist system, which is social, it's political, it's economic, it's spiritual. I've been accused, I write some things, and I say some things, people say, well, you're getting too political. I say I don't have in my mind, it has almost not, I know there's politics, it has almost nothing to do with politics. It's spiritual. It's about the future of the church of Jesus Christ. And I don't know what you did, and all of us got caught off guard. No, most of us didn't have services. I'm here to tell you I'm not doing that again. I'll go to jail for that. The Bible in Hebrews 10, 24, 25, exhort one another. I was to say there about... there's another verse in 24 or 25, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. That's as rock bottom as we have to stand on. That's the word of God. That supersedes any king or magistrate or local or state or national than anybody else. See, we have been so accustomed, we have been so ingrained to obey the authorities of our land. And I want to be a good citizen. I want to obey them as far as I can. But when they tell me you can't meet for church, I'm going to say no. And I think some other brethren are there. We won't do that. Now, I like to talk to these people. And I sometimes think that we should have sent delegations to some of our... We used to do that. That's how we have our school liberties. That's how we have our Social Security exemptions. That's how we have a lot of things. And on this one, we kind of can't get our heads together. That's just one thing that concerns me. That there's such a broad, we have from conspiracy theorists over here to obey the government, obey the government. Oh, we got to be good citizens. Our neighbors think well of us. Those are two extremes. They are. Stay out of those ditches. But let's get on the word of God and just stand there. Humbly. Let them do with us what they want. Now, I like to tell them, we have common sense. If we're sick, stay home. I stayed home. I hadn't missed church for years and years. But I had a slight dose of this COVID, I guess. I never got tested, but I think I had the symptoms. I missed one Sunday. I said to my wife, I'm not going. I might be contagious. There's a place for that. Common sense. We love our brethren. We're not going to just pass it all around. But other than that... we need to obey God. I use that as an illustration. There's probably a lot of other things coming down the road. I'm not sure what all's coming, but there's more coming. You can be sure of that. And there's somewhere that God could bring us together, all the different groups, and come together on this. And we could stand as one man before the authorities. That would mean a lot. It sure would. And if I could help make that happen some way on an issue like this or other issues that are coming, I would do what I could. The Spirit of God. So I appeal that we be more intense and active on the spiritual implications that threaten us. And that's only one illustration. Please don't get carried away with that. That we write. I appeal that we write and we preach and we evangelize. And that we marry and have large families and rear them in the fear of God. Populate this earth. Some of y'all go, well, don't want to get married. Don't have too many children. Don't know what will happen to them. That's what I heard my grandpa say. Concerned about me. And here I am, 73 years old. Fared fairly well. God will take care of those who trust him. Like David said, I'm going out there. It was foolish. Physically, you said, David, you're a fool. That giant's going to make mincemeat out of you. He's going to have you for dinner. What are you doing, David? You're crazy. You lost your mind. No, he was standing on the truth of the Word of God. There's no way that man needs to defy God and his armies. I won't have it. God, give us some of that. And then balance it with your brethren, of course. That's why I haven't been more radical, because I haven't been balanced by my brethren. I value them, and I'm not going to do things lightly. I think I had been in Austin, Texas already if somebody went with me. I'm not going to do it myself. But I do say this. We spread out in small groups over this time. And I didn't say anything. I'm one of five in the ministry. I'm not in charge anymore. A younger man is now bishop in charge. And I just help him where I can, where he asks. And they said, Marlon, you're going to be at the church with your little group. And I said, thank you, Lord. So I got behind the pulpit with this few benches, a few people scattered out here, and I preached just like I always do, and I enjoyed myself. And finally, some guy said, this is enough of this. We're meeting. We came back to church after 3 or 4 weeks of that, whatever it was. Maybe I forget how long. But and I think we're pretty committed. There's probably a few that'll weak need, but to just stay there unless we're, you know. But anyway, you get the message. It's time to quit. But then we move in faith, like David did. Some of you have large families. God bless you. And give it what it takes to rear them in the fear of God. Years ago, Paul Anna said, a man isn't any more right to have a house full of children than a barn full of cattle if he won't take care of them. Well, that's part of it. And then give an answer. We have so much opportunity today. I'm starting to enjoy it. I've shaken my boots and my knees. Speak up and carry it a little further. I guess I can give this to the glory of God. But I was in our local grocery store, a big store, a large store, and long aisles, and one whole side is cards of all kinds, greeting cards or whatever occasion. So I'm looking for a card from my good wife for anniversary back in January. And I'm done. I finally found something. I thought I could little suit. It's hard to get the right card, isn't it? But okay, I think I can make this work. And I'm ready to leave, and I see partners. It's for two husbands. That's good. I didn't just eat dinner. I might have just upchucked on the spot. That stuff, maybe I'm too emotional, but some of that stuff works on me. Turns my stomach. I'm not hungry anymore. So, well, I got to go. I'm late. I'm ready late. My schedule, but somehow as I walked out of the store, the Lord said, you know, you ought to do more than that. And shake your head and say, oh, that's terrible. So I had it in my mind, and a few days later, I went to a funeral in that town, and Debbie says, we need a few things at the store. I said, well, stop. So she goes in. I'm dressed like this. I'm ashamed to go anywhere like this. Been down to dark corners of New York City and who knows where. And So she's looking for a card, I guess, for me now. It's still not our anniversary. And getting a few things. And I know a few of the men. I don't know them, but I know there's a manager I know. I don't know his name. He don't know me, but because it's the time of day, and I know they're in charge. So I see this one man, and well, maybe I should talk to him about this. So he's on his phone, and how bad is it? And I don't want to interrupt. So I walk back and forth, and he's still on the phone. And I thought, well, Lord, I walked around one more time. And if he's not available, then this is not the day to do it. I'll wait till another time. And here he was, and he was kind of punching. And I thought, well, he's not talking. So I just walked up and said, sir, and, you know, I had that man's attention. Yes, I'm the customer. I said, do you have any idea what all you got in this selection of cards here? Well, no, not really. How could he? I said, there's something in there that bothers me. I don't know if I said, I don't know what the words, but I basically said, and I said to him, this is not a political agenda. I'm concerned about the direction of our society, and there's something in there that's not good. And I said, I don't know if he said something, and he follows me back to the aisle, and I knew right where it was. I said, that there. He looked at it. I said, can you do something about that? He said, I can. Reached in there and pulled it out. I said, thank you, sir. Now, I want to go back. It's been a while. See, make sure it didn't get back in there. And if it is, I'll say something again. I hope it's gone. And that says, and I fail many times. And I've come home and I say, Lord, I missed it. Should have said a word. Was I too busy? Yeah, sometimes. Was I afraid? Maybe. So what I want to do this morning, that we behave ourselves wisely. Be kind, be humble, be cautious, be all that God wants you to be, but be courageous and go by faith and have the word of God under your belt. Like David had this stones hanging on his side, ready to go, sling his hand. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. I'm going to read 1 Peter 3, and I'm going to sit down. 1 Peter 3, 15. I like this verse, and this is the one I should be able to quote, but I'm going to turn to it so I get it right. 1 Peter 3, 15. Thank you for being good listeners this morning. Verse 15, but sanctify or set apart the Lord God in your hearts. I think that's David had done that. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And a good conscience that whereas they speak evil, they might speak evil of you, so what? As of evildoers, but they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. God bless you and help you to behave yourselves wisely here in this part of the world for the glory of God. Let's kneel for prayer. Father, we need...